Blog Talk Radio.
Fans, and welcome to this issue of Knuckle Up on Sports Action Network Radio. It's your host, George Foley, and sitting in, as always, the editor at the MMA Corner and Scrap Fight Magazine, Mr. Josh Davis. Just trying to log in right now to the dashboard, waiting for Josh to call in. What's going on, brother?
Nothing. Struggling to get in through the queue. Sometimes I swear our board operator does not like this number.
Yeah, man. I can definitely dig it. Anyway, we've talked about a lot. I know we had a lapse week last week. Is there any real pressing news out there? I haven't seen any.
Well, a couple of things that have either been announced or are about to be announced. So we'll go ahead and do them on the show. Tony Ferguson is set to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov, the main event of the Tough 22 finale.
Okay.
Which personally I think is a waste of a fight. I mean, I love Tony. He's on the rise. But Khabib was about to fight for a title. And so, you know, to me, the fight doesn't make sense, but that's what the UFC's going with. And the UFC has scrapped Ronda Rousey versus Miesha Tate 3, and it's now going to be Rousey versus Holly Holm.
I'm sorry. I was intaking and trying to talk at the same time. Can I ask you, how did Holly Holm get her title shot? If my memory serves me correctly, she's only had one fight in the UFC. Did I miss anything?
Two fights, but regardless, no, she does not deserve a title shot. She hasn't even, and I would have to go back to confirm this, but I'm pretty sure Holly hasn't even been actually on the main card yet. I believe she's been on the main portion of the prelims. So I don't know why she's getting such a boost right now. Dana White, as recently as, what, I think 3 weeks ago, still said that Holly Holm had a lot of work and that, no, she was not even in discussions title shot. And then now here she is getting a title shot. So, honestly, if you want my honest opinion, which I know you do, I think they pulled Tate so they could do Miesha Tate, Chris Cyborg. And we will see that. Hopefully, we will see that at 135 pounds, but we just might be seeing it at 140. And then if Cyborg does it at 135, no, as long as she wins that fight, the next fight will be with Rousey. So I kind of think that is what the UFC is doing. I have reached out to my people within both the UFC and Invicta to confirm that. I have not gotten any denials back yet. So I'm pretty sure that's why Holly Holm's getting the shot now, and that's how things are going to progress. But again, it'll be interesting to see how things play out here in the future.
Yeah, I mean, because okay, I guess Ronda needs a tune-up fight. You know, you got to fight every couple of months to keep your tools sharp. But two, Holly Holmes hasn't even fought a top 5 fighter. No, not at all. You know, and Miesha Tate, wants to fight Chris Cyborg. I mean, I'm not laughing because I'm laughing at what are you thinking? What are you thinking? When you were in Strike Force, you and Cyborg were in complete different divisions. Okay? Didn't you see the beating she put on Gina Carano? You see what I mean? And I'm all for toughness. I'm all for not taking down the fight. But to me, size does matter, and that fight really doesn't make any sense. Not for Cyborg. That's great. I think for Misha Tate. Misha's not going to be strong enough to deal with her. I don't care what Misha thinks she is. She's not going to be, you know. And I just think it's a bad fight. I think it's a really bad fight. But the UFC always has a habit of putting these fighters in these type of situations to use them up, get the most exposure that they can get out of them, and then when they're done, you know, just let them go. They've been very good at that. Very good at that. You know, so I don't know. I don't know, but to me, that's a what-are-you-thinking fight, not for Cyborg, but definitely for Misha. I think Misha's going to get seriously hurt in this fight, and if this fight doesn't retire her, this will be the culmination, this will be the start that sends Misha into retirement. I mean, I can go on and on, but I can remember the main event. I was at Strikeforce in San Jose. It wasn't a main event, but Cyborg didn't make weight, and she was fighting a Japanese fighter who came up to fight her. Young lady, okay?
Yeah.
Josh Barnett was her corner man, okay? And they went through the whole thing. Long and short of it, the excuse that came out of Cyborg's camp, if you remember, was, you know, due to her monthly issues, she was retaining water, couldn't make weight, okay? So if you remember, the discussion was, way back then, that the Japanese fighter who came up in weight to fight Cyborg, take the fight, or they let it go. She decided to fight, okay? I saw that girl on the plane after the fight when I was flying back to New Jersey and she was flying, connecting to go back to Japan. First of all, it was a short fight. You saw it. Chris beat her in the first round. But her face looked horrible. The beating that she took in those few minutes in that first round, I just couldn't imagine. And she was a smaller fighter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my recollection of fighters coming up from different weight classes to fight Cyborg. It's a bad fight for Misha. Bad fight for Misha. You know, I think she should take all her modeling pictures now, get it done and over with, because if she truly fights Cyborg, like I said, that's going to be the beginning of the end for her. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
I have grown to respect Misha Tate over the years. I used to think that she was overrated. I didn't, you know, think that she had the skill set. And over the years, you know, she's evolved. She's proven time and time again that she does have a solid chin, and she's got the heart of a lion. She is a competitor. But you hammered it home. This is a bad fight for her. She is not big enough. She's not strong enough. She's not going to be able to take Cyborg down. And even if she did, let's say on the off chance that she got her down that one time, she's not big enough and strong enough to hold her down there. And so, no, this is a bad sight, a bad fight for Tate. And I understand, you know, why she wants to take it. But, man, you know, if you're her coach and you're in the corner and you guys are truly her friends, her people, do you need to be telling her, this isn't the fight for you. This is not the way that we should go about getting to where you want to be.
Don't know about it. Fight fan, listen.
I think Cyborg will kill her and put her in retirement.
You know, fight fans, we have been objective in this show. We talk about good. We talk about bad. You know, we talk about opinions based on facts and things that we know that we can and can't share. But I agree with you. You know, even in boxing, if you just look at Manny Pacquiao when he fought Margarito, he went up to fight Margarito. When he got done, he said, yeah, he hurt me in a couple shots. And what did his trainer say? That'll be the last time Manny goes up that much weight and fight a bigger fighter. Okay? So there is a science to this, and this is the fight game. And ultimately, no matter what my opinion is and what everybody hears me say that they think is negative, my ultimate concern is for the fighter. You know, they're wearing four-inch gloves, be honest. Okay? And to take that kind of damage, it changes you. If I'm lying, ask Nogueira, ask Brock Lesnar, you know, ask Shane Carwin. And also all these guys who got in the game and left, okay? Couldn't be in it. you know, and just taking too many beatings like that. And these are women, and I just, you know what I mean? It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different as far as I'm concerned.
You know, here's the thing. We love the fight game, and we cover it. It's our job. It's what we do. But I don't want to see anyone get hurt. I don't want to see anyone be unsafe. I don't want to see anyone take fights that they shouldn't just to either get a paycheck or please fans. No, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see anything like that, you know, because that's not what the sport's about. That's not why we cover the sport. And so everything I just said about Misha isn't because I think she's not a great fighter. I think she's probably the second or third best 135-pound fighter on the planet. But you're asking her to step up and wait and fight and this is no disrespect, but a genetic freak. You know, this is a big, bad woman that hurts people. And I think if Misha takes that fight, she will suffer the same fate. And I don't think she needs to. I think it's a bad fight.
Yeah. We said what we had to say. We'll see how the UFC plays it out. Any other fights that we should be talking about?
Well, I think now that we see... Paul, I'm sorry. I was about to sneeze. Excuse me. I'm sorry. A sneeze came out of nowhere. So I think because the UFC just announced the Habib-Tony Ferguson fight, I think we're now going to see Anthony Pettis and Little Diaz. I think that'll be the next big fight that gets announced. I know both Diaz and Habib wanted to sign to fight each other after their little scuffle at World Series of Fighting, but the UFC wasn't having anything to do with that, and so I do think we will see Pettis and Little Diaz. Now, that one I know they haven't announced. I don't even think they've sent out bout agreements or anything like that, but in talking to all my people over at the UFC about potential fights, everything they've told me has led me to believe that, again, because the Ferguson-Habib fight is the one that did get made, now we'll get Pettis and Little Diaz.
All right. I mean, look, Pettis has been out for, what, almost a year, close to a year, since he took a beating, lost his belt.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you got to get your mind right and see if you can get back into the game. And, you know, Nate Diaz is a great fight. And the reason why I think Nate Diaz is a great fight for him, because like his brother, he's going to stand in front of him. And any fighter that has decent striking knows that if you don't have to move too much, and you're going to fight a fighter that's standing right in front of you and not going to move, it's going to be a short night for you. Some lion ass Quentin Jackson. You know, yep. When he came back and fought Maldonado, it was a great fight for him. Oh, man, Quentin looked like he was back, throwing leg kicks and everything. Why? Because he stood right in front of him. So, you know, I think that's a great, great fight for Pettis. I think that would be a great fight to get his mind back into the game and see him competitive, get those competitive juices again and, you know, get his psyche back, get his mojo back.
And I love the Diaz brothers. I love Little Diaz, but this is another one of those that's just a bad fight. You know, Pettis isn't going to back down from Little Diaz. And so as Nate moves straight forward, Pettis is going to pick him apart with his angles. So this is, again, it's a bad matchup for Nate. It's a great matchup for Pettis. And it should be a great confidence booster for him to get, again, back into to making a title run. So, and to be real honest, personally, it's just a fight that I would like to see. There are so many things that can happen. Now, I think Pettis will dominate this fight, but I'm a Diaz fan, and I know what they can do, and, you know, you never know. So, yeah, it's a fight I'd like to see.
No doubt about it. You know, look, just the antics alone are going to be great when it comes to Diaz. You know, how they talk, how they think, how they hype a fight up. Just the antics alone is going to be great. You know, but I'm talking about technical ability. And as sure as I'm sitting here and just being honest with you and the fight fans, the Diaz haven't changed in 5 years. They haven't changed in 5 years. Straight on fighters, straight straight ahead. You know, they don't cut angles. They don't do anything. They're just straight. I hate to say it. They call it the Stockton slap or whatever they call it, whatever they call it. The bottom line is when they get in the ring, they just brawl. That's it. You know, yeah, straight street fight. I haven't seen anything technical about the way that they fight or anything. It's just a straight street fight. So
now, you know, both of them have technical jiu-jitsu when it goes to the ground. But, they're straight street fighters. They want to go in there, and they just want to throw punches, and whoever is better at doing that wins. That's the Diaz. That's how they would like it. So,
let's hold that thought and take a quick break and come on back with more. Knuckle up.
Your days at the newsstand are over. Scrap Fight Magazine brings all the world's mixed martial arts action to your computer with a click of a mouse. Read articles, interviews, and feature pieces from some of the world's most respected fight journalists, and get the lowdown on the biggest MMA events and fighters from across the globe. And because Scrap is digital, you'll have full access to the integrated audio and video segments. So subscribe now at www.scrapfightmag.com and get your scrap on.
All right, we're back. Switch gears. You know, the battle for number two, I guess the second U.S. promotion, you know, Bellator and World Series of Fighting. Bellator is, I guess, the new Strikeforce. You know, they're signing a lot of their old fighters. I think they just signed Josh Thompson and they signed Gilbert's wife. You know, World Series of Fighting also, too, is signing UFC fighters. Who has a better game plan, in your opinion?
You know, I think it's tough to say that either one of them has a better game plan because I think they're both very similar, and I'll tell you why. Now, Scott, who we love, is obviously running Bellator, and what he's trying to do is get as many guys as he is comfortable with back on the roster. He's trying to get Scott Coker guys that share the same philosophy about what MMA should be, about what promoting an event should be, so on and so forth. And that's what Scott's trying to do. Now, World Series of Fighting, they have a very similar mindset, but it's more, you know, towards what Ray Sifo and the rest of his crew be. And yes, they're signing certain UFC guys that they think still have drawing power. And like they recently signed Mike Ricci, who was fighting in Titan. He was on the reality on Tough, so on and so forth. They're doing things that they think, again, will give them drawing power. Now, the other thing about World Series of Fighting that they're doing that's pretty smart is when you look at guys that they're signing, they're only signing guys out of specific gyms that have a following, gyms that have other fighters and other organizations that people care about. Why is that important? Because they will watch World Series of Fighting to see this kid, to see if he's any good, so on and so forth. Plus, they say he trains with GSP, blah, 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 and they're able to build it. And so I think both of them are doing the right things for what they want to do. As far as who's the number two, I mean, I think that's still got to be Bellator, and then, you know, World Series of Fighting is doing their thing. But, you know, a lot of fighters that I talk to, anyways, would rather go to RFA because RFA feeds right in to the UFC.
Yeah, look, I can understand that.
And World Series of Fighting and Bellator are trying to build their own brand. Now, if Viacom ever truly gets on board, Bellator is going to blow everyone out the water because they truly will have the financial backing. As much as we love World Series of Fighting, they're still a paycheck-to-paycheck type of promotion. Yes, their guys are getting paid, but they're not generating revenue for the long haul. they're generating just enough so they can have another event. And so they're going to have to figure out something so they can, again, build for the long term.
Look, and it's smart. You know, NBC Sports Network, even though it's part of NBC family, it's its own cable channel. And I think at best they have, what, 79 million households, while Spike is over 100 million right now, close to it.
Yeah.
You know, worldwide it's a little bit more. And also they're selling their content to another 140 million TV views overseas. So, you know, they have the right strategy. And I guess their partnership with Glory, you know, we'll see how that all spreads out. Plus, they're doing the Friday night boxing as well, too. So they're making a push to become a viable combat sports network. You know, we just have to see how they do it. And if they truly understand that they're going to have to make the real investment, you know. A lot of people don't realize that, yes, we always talk about the Fertittas putting up the first $76 million and a little bit more after they bought the UFC, the old UFC. Great. No problem. But, you know, one of my clients, his boss was the one that gave them the $300 million loan from Deutsche Bank to keep them going. You see what I mean? So yeah. you're talking about real numbers. And even though everybody talks about the UFC, 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 let's make no mistake about it. Pay-per-view numbers are great. They're doing big things. They're talking a big game. But what? They had to get a multi-million dollar deal, secured deal from Fox, right? A while back, they had some money problems. I think they sold 10% of the company to some sheikh in Abu Dhabi for
yep.
$100 million. You know what I mean? And that's the whole scandal that came in with Anderson Silva and why he didn't perform so well because, you know, they had just cut a $100 million check. And this is what he does. You know what I mean? So every now and then and every couple of years, even the UFC, past everything that they're doing, still needs an infusion of cash to keep doing what they're doing and how they're doing it. Is that a good marketing strategy, bad marketing strategy? I don't know. Can that be self-sustaining? I'm sure they have an exit strategy to make sure that it is. The fans and business people make no mistake about it. That's what's been happening. Go back and check the record. You know what I mean? And so Viacom being the billion-dollar industry that it is, you know, I honestly believe, look, they're going to have to step up and really make the investment. You know, this few tens of millions is not going to happen. They're going to have to step up and put, you know, a guarantee of at least $100 million on the table to come play ball if they want to be around and if they want to take MMA seriously. The exact same thing, I hate to say, that Mark Cuban knew he had to do, and he didn't do for HDNet. You know, as smart as he was all the way back then, he knew that's what he had to do from the beginning. But he didn't. You know what I mean? He didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't.
And
he took the software.
He wishes
took the software out. Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. You know, took the software out. Took the more gentle approach and thought he could hook or crook it. And he couldn't. Definitely couldn't. To the point that he had to sell the channel and bring in new investors because he was just draining money. He, you know, but that's his money, not mine. We all know what the formula is. It just has to be executed. So I really hope Viacom understands that at some point in time and just pulls the trigger. It's the only way it's going to work.
Because if they would do that, you know, let's be honest. If they would just pull the trigger and say, you know what, guys, do what you need to do, we will completely fund it. They would blow the UFC out of the water because they have a much, 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 much bigger reach. And number two, they have a bigger bank account. They do. You can go look at Forbes and, you know, Viacom is worth 10 times what the Fertitta's casinos are worth.
No doubt about it. Even Fox Sports Network, you know, I think they spent over $100 million to start that channel and so forth and so on, more than $100 million to get it off the ground. But that just shows you that Fox knew that's the kind of capital that they had to invest to start that whole new cable channel, you see what I mean? And put it up in place and aggregate all the content that they needed. You know, so Viacom knows. Viacom is just not into entertainment. They have their fingers across entire platforms, you know? So
yeah.
It's just a matter of getting the board of directors in place and pulling the trigger. Definitely pulling the trigger. But in order to do that, you got to do it with a sound game plan. And maybe Bellator and Spike TV doesn't have that game plan yet. We don't know.
Yeah, because I'll be honest, as well as I know the people at Spike and as well as I know certain people within Side Viacom, I don't know crap about what they really talked about. You know, I know what my buddies tell me. And, you know, to be real honest, they could be in there again. We have no idea what is said behind closed doors. So, you know, but again, the point still remains the same. If they game plan correctly, they have the means to fund. They have the means to, you know, be the top dog if that's what they want to do.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. Phone just dropped out. I had to call back in.
It happens.
Definitely happens. But I think we only have about a few minutes left. Do we have any fights this weekend that are, you know, worth us talking about?
You know, there's a UFC event Saturday night in Saskatchewan, Canada. And I'll be honest, I have not been talking about this event because I do think it's completely disrespectful what the UFC has done here. I think Canada, especially the people of Saskatchewan, deserve better than what they're getting. But obviously, to an end, tonight there's an RFA event. It is USA versus Brazil. Leo de Machida is the coach of the Brazilian team, and Robbie Lawler is the coach of the American team. They will be in Adidas uniforms, so that'll be interesting to see. But I want to take
for RFA.
Yeah, for RFA.
Wow, how did I get Robbie Lawler and Machida?
Adidas Combat Sports, because it's outside of the octagon, you know, they're allowed to have sponsors outside of the octagon, and so...
No, I'm talking about the coaches, brother. How did they get them as coaches? They're UFC fighters.
Oh, well, because Ed Soares, who owns RFA, manages Leo de Machida, so that's easy. And then, you know, they're friends. Ed Soares is friends with everybody. So getting Robbie Lawler, I imagine, was, you know, a simple request.
And the UFC let them take their fighters for another promotion, even though it's a feeder organization?
Well, they're not fighting. They're just, you know, coaching. And the UFC loved
that. Yeah, I understand that. But in the past, the UFC has always kept their fighters, and they've always tried not to cross-promote with promotions and things like that. Always.
No.
So
if this wasn't Ed Soares, it wouldn't be it. Hey, and real quickly, go see Straight Outta Compton. I was able to see it this weekend, and, you know, after interviewing your boy who plays Suge Knight, man, just put that interview even more into perspective. It was awesome. Awesome.
I told you. It's a great movie. You know, definitely a great movie. But back to my point real quick. I think we only have 2 minutes. Fight fans, what I was going to say was, can do anything they want to do with their fighters. Make a fight, this, that, and the third. So don't always get caught up in the hype of why this fight can't happen. And go check out Straight Outta Compton. That's our show. Don't forget, for this or any other episode, you can go to the Google Play Marketplace and download the free Sports Action Network mobile app. For the latest MMA news and information, you can go to DMMA Corner. That's DMMACorner.com. And check out the latest issue of Scrap Fight Magazine with cover story. Switch gears a little bit. You know, Usman Poharis and World Series of Fighting, did they go far enough? That's at ScrapFightMag.com. I want to thank you, partner, for sitting in. Everybody else say knuckled up. We'll talk next week.